Hey, this is Pastor Nate Cook, and you're listening to Pontificating Pastors, a podcast where we lock two pastors in a room and just let them talk about anything and everything. My friend Michael Pig is a church planter in San Marcos, Texas, and I'm a traditional church pastor here in Midwest City, Oklahoma. Today on the podcast, Michael and Nate are talking about service and why it's such an important part of the church as we continue our Things We Do in Church series. So we hope you'll just sit right back and relax and enjoy this episode of Pontificating Pastors. Hey, Michael, how's it going this week?
It's going well, Nate. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. It is snowing big flakes right here right now. It is a winter wonderland. And the best part is it's not sticking to the roads. So it's just pretty.
That's good. That's good news. Here we got some rain that we really, really needed, you know. So I'm glad to see it. Glad to see it raining, but it didn't rain all summer. So, and we thought we were going to get a wetter fall, but we really didn't get a wet fall. So we're looking forward to it. We were talking to our friend JJ Tuttle, who's out in Nevada. Shout out to him and Connected Church.
Shout out to JJ, avid listener.
And we love him, but he was talking about how the road in the valley had, like, I think he said 19 feet of snow.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So the roadway was plowed and there were just walls of snow. Like, you drove down this corridor of snow, which, you know, way down here in South Texas just isn't a fathomable thing. We just don't think about snow that much.
Yeah, we get some drifts, but nothing you would drive through. Maybe you might walk through with your boots, but that's about it.
Yeah, we don't. Yeah. We barely see a flurry. We got several inches a couple years ago, and I built a snowman, and my neighbors came out to take pictures of my snowman because they didn't want to mess up the snow in their yard because they'd never had snow before. And
yeah,
we used up just about every bit of snow in our yard to make a snowman with it. So it was
I made one of those that looked more like a dirt man.
Yeah, it was kind of a dirt and grass man.
Yeah. So yeah. Yeah, we today I asked my class, you know, if anybody lived where there wasn't much snow, and everybody seemed to be around snow at some point in their life. So they weren't quite as enamored by it. I guess maybe the ones who were the ones that didn't show up for class today. They might have been out in the snow.
Sure, if they were out playing, they had a snow day.
Yeah. Yeah, I give them 3 freebies, and some of them decided snow day was one of their freebies, I guess.
Oh.
But yeah, it's a beautiful day here. I like it. I like it when it's a warm snow and it's not too bad on the old traffic. Mm-hmm. So,
well, is it going to freeze tonight and make it miserable in the morning, or will it be okay?
I don't think it's going to get too bad tonight. It's like tomorrow night it's supposed to get in the 20s, but I think we'll be dried up by then. I don't know. We're kind of like you. We had a very dry summer, so. It's snow doesn't quite saturate like rain does. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But so far, I think we're going to be good.
All right.
So, yeah. Well, what you been doing?
Well, just came from a meeting with our faith-based community action committee kind of thing. I don't even know. We don't even really have a name for it. I'm sure the superintendent of schools has a name for it, but he invited us all and said, hey, listen, a bunch of pastors in town, he said, just come together. I want to tell you about what's going on, and maybe I can get some feedback from you that would be helpful. And you could, you know, help, it, you know, shape. And I think maybe he wants to shape the narrative a little bit.
Yeah.
It says, hey, let's not just spend all of our time talking about all the bad things that are happening, but maybe let's talk about how we could be proactive in making a difference, right? So, you know, schools and principals and teachers on social media, there just tend to be these, oh, did you hear this? And then pile on, and everybody's like negative.
Oh, yeah.
Negative, you know, and so he's like,
yeah,
saying, hey, here's what we could do. So if any of your parishioners are asking you, how could we be a blessing to the schools? This is how you can do it. You know, and basically it was what you would expect. Every principal has some autonomy. Their school has some autonomy. They're part of the district, but they're calling the shots on their campus. And so set up a meeting with your principal, pick a school, set up a meeting, and then go talk to them and say, what do you need? And most of them are going to say, we need more volunteers on our campus who will spend some intentional time with students, whether it's tutoring or, you know, substitute teaching or showing up to do after school programming stuff. There's so many volunteer opportunities and we need more volunteers. So,
yeah. Yeah.
You know, put your money where your mouth is and get down here and help us kind of thing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's good that your principal's doing that. Yeah. He's being proactive in that, because I do think, you know, that's our mayor did a little bit of that. Hadn't quite taken off like I thought it was going to, but he was trying to match up church groups with people that were having trouble, like keeping their house up to code or whatever. So they were getting tickets and fines. And so he was, you know, trying to connect the church, who has volunteers, to be able, churches in the area, to help. Generally, it's elderly people out or people that just can't do the work for themselves. So,
right.
And we did a little bit of that, but then it kind of fizzled out when COVID hit. So I'm hoping it will come back at some point here, but it has not really, as of yet, it hasn't really come back. But yeah, speaking of volunteering, we were going to talk about another thing you do in church called service.
Yeah, service.
Matter of fact. And why do we do service, and what's it all about?
As of this recording, we both have service projects planned in lieu of our Sunday morning worship services. So we do a thing called Fifth Sunday Serve. Shelly's funny because when she announces it, a lot of times she switches it up and she says, I don't even remember the order that she says it in, but it's Fifth Serve Sunday is what we call it. We call it Fifth Sunday Serve, and she calls it.
Now you don't even know.
Now I got it all backwards. I got it all confused. I was making fun of her, and now I'm doing it. But Fifth Serve Sunday, and it's so funny because she'll say it both directions when she's making the announcements, because Shelly makes the announcements for us on Sunday, and it's on the screen behind her in the right order, and she's saying it out of order, and then I get up to talk about it, dear, you know, and inevitably I do the same thing. So.
We stole that from you, which is what all good pastors do. Just find ideas. Just
find somebody else.
And you steal it.
We didn't. We
call it Fifth Sunday Serve. So I don't know which one we pick, the right or the wrong way, but that's what we've called it. And we're this week, because it was winter and just like today, you never know. It's just going to snow all of a sudden when it was 60 degrees 2 days ago.
Uh-huh.
But because it's like that, we decided we were going to do some service around our own church. So we've been in there about 6 years now. And so it's starting to feel like it needs a little TLC.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, we're encouraging people to go in groups of 6 to 8 to serve their servers in the community. So to just bring extra money to tip generously. Yeah. Because my preaching cohort told me that servers are treated the worst on Sundays. I knew that was a stereotype. I wasn't sure that I was convinced it was always true. But we had a couple of people who had been servers who said, no, Nate, you're wrong. It is always true. So what are you guys doing this weekend?
Well, we have a CPS emergency facility. I say CPS. It's actually a county group that does sheltering for kids who've had to be removed from their homes for any number of reasons. You know, a parent has gone to jail
we work with a group like that too.
Yeah. And so, can't go shelter, in all of it, but they have a lot more kids than they have normally had, coming out of COVID and just this last year.
It's been rough.
They've been trying. Sure. They're trying to do some expansion, and so there's a lot next to the kind of the place where they house them, the shelter, the emergency shelter. And so they, you know, some of these kids are staying for much longer than you would, you know, you would hope that they would find on foster care, or that their parent would be rehabilitated or back in the home. There'd be an opportunity for them to return, but some of them are making, you know, are staying for a long time. And so they're just needing more space. And there's a lot next to the house that they keep where they shelter the kids, that needs, you know, development. And so we're working to help. The first step is sort of, you know, clean it up and get things moving so they can have more yard for the kids to go outside and move around and not be trapped inside and in the house all the time. And they need, you know, they're just trying to do some development there. And, you know, so we said, hey, we'll come over and, you know, do some outside work for you. But it's, you know, I say scheduled to rain. It's such a weird thing that we now know the forecasted schedule. Yeah, the forecast. We're not having to look at the farmer's almanac anymore and say, well, last year it did this. Now we're looking at an actual, you know, model, 3D models of the weather patterns that are taking place above us. And so it looks like it's going to rain on Sunday. So I've been scrambling all morning because we have a couple of other smaller projects that, you know, might need our attention so that we can get some people out of the rain if it does rain, because that's going to put a damper on things. But we're looking forward to our fifth Sunday serve. It's a weird thing, you know, because sometimes we have made Sunday morning such a sacred thing that it's very difficult to imagine the church as doing something else on a Sunday morning. We've stuck to it, and you know, it seems to be important that we do. We don't have the turnout. If I'm honest, we don't have, you know, everybody who would have come on Sunday morning doesn't. Some people see it as a opportunity to, you know, go out of town without feeling bad about missing church. Some people see it as just I'm going to sleep late today. You know, there's all kinds of vantage points. Some of them say, yeah, I've got small children. I cannot drag them out there and do that. Sometimes the encouragement then is find a place of service. If you're not with us, there's no guilt trip here. We're not trying to make you feel bad for not showing up.
Oh, we guilt trip our people. Oh, big time. No.
You know, find a place of service, right? Like, and it doesn't have to be on Sunday. This is right. We are taking a hiatus from what is normal to us and what is, you know, routine to us, to remind ourselves how important it is that we serve our neighbors and our communities.
Yeah. Like, I think John Wesley called them like works of piety, which sounds way, way too spiritual.
Sure it does.
But yeah. So we had just your cleaning up around a shelter reminded me that was our project in the fall. We have a shelter that we work with, same exact kind of situation. Kids go there until they can find a home through the foster care system. So we're cleaning up a bunch of brush, bunch of trees. We had had, you know, trimming up trees. We had had this big ice storm a couple of years ago and trees had just cracked and there were still limbs like hanging down. So we went up to pull limbs, but also to cut new limbs. And so two of our younger kids that did come out decided they would build a fort in the pile of limbs. And none of us saw that there was poison ivy in the limbs.
Oh no.
So, So the next day or the next Wednesday, when one of the kids comes to church, he is covered in calamine lotion.
Oh my goodness.
They had so much fun. They were just enjoying, you know, playing in the limbs that we had pulled.
Sure.
And created this like igloo looking dome. And it was so cool. And they were hiding in there and we were all laughing about it. And then I guess nature got the last laugh on that one, but yeah. So, I think one of the reasons why we picked it up from you guys was just the idea of, we often get into this mode. And like you said, we can't hardly even imagine that worship would be anything other than singing or you know, reading the word or listening to a message or that, you know, it kind of creates this dichotomy of, well, that's worship and everything else I do is not. And so right. I think for us, the big thing was, yes, we're still going to worship. We're just going to worship in a different way. And I took a class. It was about the mission of God. And one of the things that I loved about this class, it was called Readings in Missional Theology, but it was really about the mission of God and how that mission is grounded in who God is. So the members of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, they're all moving outward toward the other, such that they're one, so much so that they, you know, you can't find the beginning and the end of each individual personhood, but they are one. And so in that class, we talked about then the nature of what it means to be like Christ is to always be moving outward. And so many times in worship services, we want to bring people inward, right? You know, you invite people to worship. And so I think that's another reason why I think it's really important that we serve, is that really, I tell people, all love moves towards the other. All love suffers at some point. And when I say suffers, I mean, gives up something for the sake of someone else. And really, that's all that service is. It's like, I'm going to give up time. I'm going to give up energy. I'm going to give up resources so that you can thrive, or so that I can help you, or so that, and you know, the other thing about service that I think is really important is that, you know, it is kind of a partnership, and not that I'm helping you, but together we are working together for the kingdom of God. So even when you go serve someone, there's something you're receiving back. They are ministering to you in some way. And I especially think about this when we go to other countries and things. It's like, we might take money and resources and work power, but what we get back from other people is often so much more than any kind of financial, like, you know, just the relationships. When I've been in countries, you know, that don't have as much as Americans, I've realized the joy that they live with and the simplicity often and the faith that we could stand to learn from. So yes. Service isn't also about me helping you because I'm kind of going to come in and rescue you from whatever your situation is. It's about partnering with God and partnering with other people. I think it's always a partnership, if that makes sense.
Sure. And the, you know, Fifth Sunday Serve, or Fifth Serve Sunday, whichever we're calling it, you know, it's just an easy way to be frank. It's an easy way. It's not, you know, oh, look at them and look how great they are. No, truth is that as a church plant, Fifth Sundays pose a problem because they interfere with the budget. It costs so
us
much.
Too.
Yeah, like Fifth Sunday, you know, we're going to turn the lights on one more time. So we're going to pay a bill one more time than we normally do. And so there's some solving of problems that goes along with it. And I'm just saying this not to be a buzzkill or, you know, or whatever, but there's some desire on my part to pull back the curtain and say, hey, listen, in transparency, let me tell you that this helps, right? Because it gives it gives volunteers a break. It does some other things. I would encourage any church to employ a Fifth Sunday Serve until, you know, like it just came to be known that just like, you know, the world knows that on Sundays, Christian churches are meeting in celebration, right?
Yeah.
Unless you're, you know, Seventh-day Adventist and then you're meeting on Saturdays.
On Saturday, or,
you know, but for the most part, Christian churches meet on Sundays and have worship services. So we know where people are who are Christians on Sunday mornings. What if we were known by our acts of service as well? And so on a fifth Sunday, oh, there's Fifth Sunday this week. What if we got to the point where groups who needed help were reaching out to us because they knew we were going to make that available to them, right? You know, that would be kind of a cool thing. But I mean, totally in line with your theological perspective there. I really appreciate, you know, sort of the verbiage that you use to describe why we do service. but there are some very practical and pragmatic
things
that go along with this. We don't want to miss out though on the idea that just like we do a fifth Sunday serve and we're there for that time for just, you know, usually 9 to noon on a Sunday. Well, you can accomplish, you know, if you've got a good team, you can accomplish quite a bit in 4 hours, but guarantee there's more to be done than what you can do in 4 hours on a Sunday.
Oh yeah.
You know, 4 times a year. Right.
Right.
Cause it's, you know, fifth Sundays don't come around terribly frequently. And so, you know, we take that opportunity and we do that, but most importantly is to introduce people to some opportunities that are there every day of the week. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because volunteerism and service to your community are essential parts of any community networking that needs to take place. Because if we don't get a hands-on, if we don't get face-to-face with the problem, then it becomes really easy to criticize the people who are doing that job, but aren't able to accomplish the task. But when we go in there and we see it for what it is, we begin to realize, oh, these are people with names and stories and struggles.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, I don't know any job that can be done, you know, one time and never needs maintenance. Everything needs maintenance, right? Everything needs to be done and then done again and then rethought and done in a different way and messed up and failed and tried again. Like this is human life. This is the joy of human life. We don't ever get to the end of all of the problems and all the struggles.
Yeah.
Choosing to do them is important. And so service in this way on a fifth Sunday, on a, you know, a youth trip or a mission trip or a, you know, a 30-hour famine or just any number of things that we've done in the past and we'll continue to do in the future are opportunities for people to go, oh yeah, there's something outside of the comfort of my home. And I'm called to involve myself in it. It's incarnational theology, right? Like Jesus could have sat in heaven and went, man, these pastors just aren't getting it done. And these priests just aren't getting it done. But instead he said, I'm going to go down there. And I'm going to be a part of what's happening. And so we do service is doing the same thing, even if we don't accomplish the task, you know, accomplishing the task is, you know, just one of the reasons that we go to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. And you talk about creating a culture. So this fall, fifth Sunday fell in like, I don't know if it was Halloween or the day before Halloween, but the next Sunday we were going to be gone because we shut down every year when we do our all church retreat, because it's not a retreat for the workers who do music and everything at the church. If we're actually coming back to do all that stuff, like they don't get to retreat. So it was going to be 2 Sundays in a row that we were going to be out. And so I said, well, we're not going to do fifth Sunday serve on Sunday. We have this thing we've been doing, and you do it too. I know we cook hot dogs on Halloween night and pass them out in the neighborhood. So that will be our fifth Sunday serve. So I tried to make that known. And then I got a text from some people and they're like, we're not having church this week, right? Because it's fifth Sunday serve. And I was like, well, actually we are this fifth Sunday. And so it was kind of cool that I was like, well, it's good. We have that culture established now that people know, hey, we're not going to do the normal worship service because it's fifth Sunday serve. But then also I confused them when I pulled that back because we were going to be on retreat the next weekend. So it was kind of an interesting thing, but I love what you said about kind of realizing that things are never going to be done, but getting in and doing them anyway. That's something I struggle with. Honestly, I've been even just this week in my kind of devotion time, I was thinking about my backyard and how it's a lot like my life. I think when I was growing up, I wanted everything to get fixed. And that was my picture of what we talk about, like holiness and sanctification, was you get to this point where God just fixes it all. Right. And then you just kind of cruise, you know, for the rest of your life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
wouldn't that be nice?
So I moved into this house. Yeah. I moved into this house and the guy before me was retired. And so everything was pristine in the yard. And then I took over, right? And so I used to love when I first moved here, just like sitting in the backyard and it was so peaceful and everything. But now I realized when I sit out there, I don't do it as much because all I see is work. Like I see the undone stuff. And so I feel like God is trying to teach me personally that I need to be okay with the undone, that I need to be okay when the task is not finished, that I need to be okay, like just getting in the struggle and just living in the midst of it.
Right. But have you ever tried to read a novel where there was an assumption that you understood the characters and they did no development of character? Like they just started and you're just supposed to know what this person is feeling or how, or you're watching a movie and you're hoping at some point they're going to tell me why this person is behaving this way, because I'm kind of lost. Character development is an essential part of life, right? Like, not just in literature and artwork. It is an essential part of life within humanity. Friendships don't get built. I don't just walk up to somebody on the street and say, I'm trustworthy. You can trust me. I'm now your friend and we're going to do things together. Like that's not how friendship is made. It's proximity over time, right? It's and intentionality. Right. So like that struggle of things never get done. Like, and I feel like that's a lot of the problem of deconstructionism, right? Like sometimes within deconstructionism, we just keep deconstructing and we're like, well, this isn't perfect. Yeah. And we can't participate in it until it's perfect. I cannot be a part of this thing until there's no bad part of it left, right? The plan has to be perfect before we start the plan. But my dad had this sticker. He was in production. He worked in the oil field my entire life. And he had this sticker this decal that he had stuck on his office wall, that just said, at some point in every project, you must kill the engineer and start production. because we just want to re-engineer everything. And we're not even going to start the project until we've got all the math right.
Until it's perfect.
But that's just not how the world works. We have to. And so if we take that approach and we try to avoid all that struggle, then our character doesn't develop. And there's no space for exercising creativity. And we were created to grow and be creative, right? This is who we are. Like if we were really created in the image of God, then we were created for creativity. And you know, if there's a problem to solve, we're rarely creative.
That's very true. I like necessity is the mother of invention.
Yes,
right?
It is. That's but what I was thinking.
I think that's why sometimes Christians don't serve, to be honest, because we see the overwhelming need in the world. And we're just like, well, we can't fix that. So why try?
Yeah.
Like, well, like you look at all the pain. Yeah. Yeah. The old starfish poem. Yeah.
Yeah.
I saved that one. Just throw them back in the ocean one at a time. Yeah. But you know, it can for personality types like me, I'm a 9 on the Enneagram for people that do that. And my personality type, when I get overwhelmed, I kind of shut down. And so I definitely have felt that as far as service goes, that there are times that I'm like, man, I can't make a difference, but we can always make a difference in like one person's life at a time. And there's always room to serve. And it might start in your house, like serving your family.
Sure.
But it definitely should go beyond that. Because I think a lot of people kind of cop out and say, well, I'll serve my family. And the family has kind of become, like we've talked about, a little bit of an idol.
Yeah.
It's like, well, we're just going to stick here with people who are like us and look like us and act like us. And it's when we serve the other, the person who doesn't look like us and act like us and talk like us, that we really actually grow. We're stretched. Right. We see things in a new perspective. Like, if you've ever been in a different country, I know you have. It's like, oh, the world is much bigger than I thought.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you mean you can praise Jesus in Spanish and Chinese?
Yeah.
Like, oh, not all the worship songs are in English.
Right.
I mean, that sounds silly to say, but it's like we live that way so much of our lives. It's like,
oh, so
it really is.
So isolated.
Yeah.
Right. That's part of the fifth Sunday serve experience, is that we live isolated. Right. And we forget. Sometimes what's beautiful about the fifth Sunday serve is that, like, this time around, I just had a message from a young lady who's moving, and she said, "Hey, Pastor, if it's not too late, I'd like to throw in. I tried to do this myself, but I really could use some help. Could I get some help moving on Sunday? Because I know we're doing fifth Sunday serve, and so we're not even, like, sometimes we isolate so much that not even the community of faith knows exactly what's going on in our lives. And I was like, I wish I had known sooner.
Yeah. Right.
Moving. And, you know, we would have said, "Hey, what day of the week do you want to move?" And we'd have had a team, and we'd load up everything. You
right.
Had, moved it at one time or whatever. But, you know, that just that mentality of isolation, right? And I can do it myself. And, you know, that's a struggle.
We're taught that, right?
Oh, absolutely. Do
pull
not
yourself
be a
up by your bootstraps.
Do not yeah. be a burden. You yeah. cannot be a burden to other people.
Don't make other people take care of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, you know, there's something admirable about those things, about taking care of your business. I think we should. I think we should work hard at, you know, not being a burden, but maybe we
right.
should also work hard at helping others and asking for help when we need it. And
yeah.
I think
everybody goes through a time where no matter how hard you've worked,
mm-hmm.
it seems mm-hmm. like you just need help and you couldn't have foreseen this thing. And I agree, the scripture is pretty clear that we should try to care for our family and ourselves. But there's also the picture of the early church, you know, taking any extra and giving it to those who have need. So,
right.
Yeah, I wanted to say, you know, just one more thing about kind of fifth Sunday serve and serving in general. And that is one of the dangers, I think, in our world. And we've talked about this on our preaching cohort, and I think we didn't all agree necessarily, but there is the picture of telling the story of, like, this is what your church is doing. But there's also sometimes service can be used as an advertisement or as a look at us, look at our church.
Mm-hmm.
Look, we're doing all these things.
Yeah.
And so our fifth Sunday serve, I'm kind of wrestling with, we're serving our servers this time. So after we work around the church, we're going to go just tip extraordinarily well, like I said. And, you know, I want to send them something about the church, but I want to be careful not to make this about, oh, we need you to come to church to be worthy of this. You know what I'm saying? Like, and so let's talk a little bit about motives in service. And Jesus, you know, obviously says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. And, you know, how does that really play out in a world where everybody's Instagramming everything and Facebooking it or whatever, you know, or
right.
Snapchatting it. So
right.
I don't know if you have any thoughts about that, but I'd love to hear them.
Well, I mean, I love the thought that you would not, you know, Jesus said, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, which is a funny way to put that statement.
Yeah, because
right?
It's obvious that's impossible.
Yeah, your left hand knows what your right hand is doing.
Yeah, know, it's the same brain.
It's the same brain. So it's really about, don't brag about it, right? It's not about keep it a secret, hush, hush. And if somebody finds out about it, then it will be somehow nullified. Well, that's not
true. Yeah.
You know, it's okay if people know that it was the church that loved them well. That's fine. But again, the motive is the issue, right? Like if you go on, we used to do these things that we called love blitz, like a blitzkrieg, where you just sort of, you know, bombard a situation with, but we would call it a love blitz because we would bombard it with love, right? And it got picked up. People found out that we were doing it, and, you know, people wanted to make a social media news story out of what we were doing. And sometimes it was pretty public that we did it. Sometimes right. we just, you know, we showed up at somebody's door and just handed them a bucket and said, you know, we just want to bless you. And then a line of people just started throwing in. And sometimes people who weren't a part of us, quotation marks, would get in our line and say, what are we doing? Say, we're going to go love on this person. They've really had a tough time lately. And so we're all just chunking in a 20 or a five or whatever you got, you know?
Right.
And,
yeah. Yeah.
Or a gift card or something like that, you know? And they don't know, they've just come to this restaurant to have a meal. And we just discovered that they had this need, and the people that they're sitting with have sort of plotted on them and invited us to be a part of it. And so we're just going to walk through and we're going to, you know, put a bucket on the table and then throw in some cash, and they get to keep it. And then the people, after we're gone, the people that are with are going to explain to them, we knew you had a thing and the church just wanted to love on you. Right. And that's it.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And so we did that. But then there's this tension that says, well, we're getting some publicity from this.
Right.
And does this publicity belong to our church? Does this publicity belong to the kingdom of heaven? Or does this publicity belong to the politicians among us who will exploit it for their gain? Right.
Yeah.
You know, like how,
so true.
How do we do this? And how do we do it in a way, you know, like, can we do this and get away with this without hindering the dignity of the person that we're serving?
Yeah. Right?
'Cause, and there's some question about that because we, there's sometimes in life where you can have a relationship with a person and mentor a person and love a person and serve them very face to face and openly and honestly, and it becomes this collaboration. But in mm-hmm. a world with rules about privacy, right?
Yeah.
We have a hard time, you know, is it okay to serve you when you haven't asked for the service? Right.
Can
we bombard you in this way? And so that became a real difficult thing for us. And are we hindering the dignity of this person by not having the relationship? But sometimes I can't, because, you know, if I want to serve a particular family or a group of families within our school district. Right.
Right.
And the only way that I know that they need this service is because I have learned through a school employee who can't share with me their name or their address or any of their personal information, but who has told me we have a family that's really struggling and they could use some help. So then all I can do is provide a resource so that that person can build a relationship with them.
Right. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
And so, you know, but how do I engage this? 'Cause we don't just want to be a check writing community. We want to mm-hmm. be involved in the relationship to the extent we can be, right?
Right.
And so sometimes the best you can do is have a relationship with the person who has the relationship, right? So that you,
that
you then are resourcing the needs. But it's, I think it's important within service to note that, you know, a thing I do is called school fuel. We send home a bag of a sack full of, you know, meal replacements, food supplements, with kids, things that they can eat, things they will eat. Usually we try to make it high in protein so that they can make it through the weekend with something to eat. 'Cause a lot of kids were reporting back that they're coming to school on Monday morning, and the breakfast that the school provides is the only thing they had. That's the first thing they've had to eat in a day or so. And that just, you know, that's not conducive to coming to school ready to learn and ready to receive instruction and be a part of the class discussions and engage. What that does is, you know, means you have a tummy ache and you have to go visit the school nurse and you're hangry, so you pick on your neighbor, or you act out in class and you lack focus, so it's very hard to make a good grade. You know, it doesn't help at all. So we started sending home food with these kids who were, you know, reporting this. And, you know, there's an important thing to protect the dignity of that kid. We don't want them to be embarrassed.
Yeah,
you know, we don't want them to struggle, but we also know that a sack of food, what gets a sack of food going to do? Like, as soon as they eat it, you know, they're going to have a bowel movement and the food's gone. Right. You know what I mean? Like this is how food works. We need it when we need it. And then we use it and we need it again. Like this is it's never ending. And so, you know, and people were like, well, why are you bothering? Well, because if they come to school on Monday morning, better ready to learn than the education they get. See, the sack of food's not going to do anything for them, but the education that they'll get might help them to live a better life, right? And so we'll give them a sack of food so that they can learn, right? And we hope that they're learning. Yeah. At the very least, somebody in their community, at the very least, they discover that somebody in their community saw that they were hungry and did something about it, right?
Right, yeah.
We can't have a relationship with that kid. Like, we're an outside source. We can't even, you know, we can't name them. We can't show up at their house. But we can resource the people who are building a relationship with them, the teachers, the administrators, you know, the parent liaison folks. We can resource them to build a better relationship. And so a lot of times a lot of times people come to me and they say, can I do more? And I say, yeah. You know, every one of these schools that we're sending these food to have a page on their website that says volunteer on our campus. And you can go volunteer on their campus and get to know these kids and become a mentor and those sort of things. And so that volunteerism can be multiplied and extended beyond putting food in a sack, right?
Well, I was just going to say that true service is not needing that credit. So being able to be a resource, even if you're not the one who gets to see the actual results. I mean, that is, to me, that's the kind of service that you're not looking for what you can get out of it, but you're just looking to help resource someone who can then get to see that. One of the coolest things about being a pastor for me is that sometimes I forget this and then I'm reminded from time to time that there are people in my church every week who are serving others in ways that I know nothing about. So like this year at Christmas, I got a call on Christmas Eve from one of our members, and he just said, hey, look, I don't want these people to know it's me, but I'm going to give you $200. I want you to go buy them groceries, and I want you just to drop it off today if you can. Do you have time to do this? And I was like, I will make time to do that. Like, it's Christmas Eve, but I'm going to the store to get a few things anyway for our meal. I'm going to stop what I'm doing, and I'm going to spend an hour or two so that I get to see what you've already put in action. Like, I get to be the one who stands there and hands them the bags, you know, just had come to his attention, you know, by having a conversation with this family that they really needed some food at Christmas. And then I get to be the bearer of good news. And so that stuff is going on all the time in people in the community of faith. You don't always get to see it because they are, you know, not letting their left hand know what their right hand is doing at some points. And when I get to see it as a pastor, I'm always encouraged, you know, I get to be a part of it and I get to be reminded, hey, God is at work and you don't have to be involved in it, Nate. Like there's a lot of stuff going on every week in this community that you will never see.
Yes.
And that's what service is.
People are caring for, people aren't letting the right hand know what the left hand is doing, which is, you know, fine by me. There's a little bit of tension there because if I don't let the left hand know what the right hand is doing, then the left hand might repeat what the right
repeat. Hand yeah.
And so there's some tension in that. And I get people all the time. They're like, well, you know, we went over there to give those people those groceries and we got there and they were having a meal and it looked like a really good meal. And I'm thinking, yeah, but you don't know if that mom was just trying to bless her kids. You don't know if that dad you don't know if they spent every last penny they had. And some families, they eat at the first of the month when they get paid. And then by the end of the month, they're not eating so well anymore.
Yeah.
And so if we can extend it, right? Like, we don't, like when we say, give us this day our daily bread, what I really pray is give me this month, my daily or my monthly allotment.
Yeah.
Like I want, can I get an annual? Can I get you know, give me, give me today my annual allotment. But a lot of people really are living day to day. And so, you know, service, we don't know. This is why it needs to be bathed in prayer. This is why trusting the Holy Spirit, this is why faith needs to be a part of our service, because we don't want to show up when the service isn't needed. We want to show right. up in line with what the Holy Spirit is doing, right? And we can't know.
Right.
We can't know all of those things. And so it does need to come out of relationship. It does need to come out of, you know, a personal knowledge of the situation if it's going to be, you know, the best. But we can't always provide the best. Sometimes, you yeah. know, we're going to pour out an alabaster jar, and not all of it's going to end up on Jesus' feet. Some of it's going right. to end up on the floor, right?
Yeah.
Just, it will. And, you know, what do you
but
do
I think it's motive and intentionality. Like, if we're seeking God in prayer, if we're doing the best we can to meet the needs we know about, then we leave that the rest of it to God. How people use the money, you know, you always get those questions. Well, if I give these people money, what are they going to do with it? Well, maybe just don't give them cash all the time. But still, if you feel like you need to, then you trust that God, you feel like God called you to do this, then you're not responsible for the rest of it. You're responsible for what God's called you to. Mm-hmm. And then if somebody chooses to misuse that, and then you find out about it, obviously, maybe you learn your lesson. You're like, sure. Okay, well, maybe we need to help them in a different way because this isn't really helping. But if you don't know, you just have to trust that God called you to do it. And you're faithful to what you believe God called you to do. And that's the biggest thing with service is motive is so important because, you know, our world right now, it's really popular to go serve. Like Carnival now has a cruise where you can go do mission work on the cruise. But so much of it is like motivated by this kind of look at me, you know, or
yeah,
this is what you do to be a good person or whatever. Whereas service in the kingdom is really about the people you're serving, the God you serve, and about loving God and loving people more than like what I get out of this. You know, you ever been on the mission trip and you had to coach your kids, your youth, because they're like, well, what I got out of this was I'm so glad I'm not like those people. And you're like, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, you have teens that come back and say all kinds of stuff.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And then yeah. we would have these coaching times where we're like, and usually we did the coaching ahead of time, so hopefully they wouldn't say that. But, you know, it's just like so many people will go and say, well, I'm thankful for everything I have, or, you know, and those kinds of statements. And like, this is not why we're going. We're going because we want to love people. And because we believe these people, whoever we minister with alongside, they have just as much to contribute to us as we have to contribute to them. And we're going because we believe God is a God who moves out towards the other, someone else, and doesn't keep everything in God's self. I mean, that's the incarnation. Like you said, God moved out. He could have stayed, but he moved out and came to us.
Came to us. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that incarnational, I mean, that's the most informative part of our theology for service is that God came in the flesh. That whenever Mary mistook him in the garden for a gardener, that she really didn't make a mistake. He is the gardener. He has finger, he has dirt under his nails because he's got his hands in this mess with us, you know. So really,
yeah,
you know, important.
And Philippians says he became a man in order to become a servant.
Yeah,
the servant. So he didn't just become a man, but he took the form of a servant.
Yeah, well, and he told his disciples, you know, if you want to become my follower, you know, if you want to be a part of my followers, if you want to, you have to be servant of all. Right?
Right.
This is how this works. Right. Like this is the goal, is to be servant of all. Now, the foot washing scene, you know,
yeah,
on the night of his betrayal is, you know, which is such an interesting thing that he's betrayed. Because he wasn't concerned with the crowd, you know, with being the most popular. He wasn't concerned with, you know, promoting the agenda. He was upstairs with his most intimate compadres, washing their feet. And so there,
yeah.
and then he's betrayed, right? Because he just won't behave like a king should behave, right? He won't take control. He won't, you know, murder the Romans or whatever.
He took the towel and basin instead of the sword and the shield.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So one of the things that we do every week is, and we've already had a podcast on the Eucharist, but when we receive communion, it's, to me, it's a picture of, you know, Christ was broken and poured out for us, and we ought to be broken and poured out for the world. And that's as simple as that.
Simple as that.
We receive, and then we go give it away. We receive every Sunday, and then we give it away. That's why we keep practicing the faith, because we have to be reminded. Throughout the week, we think, well, it's all about me sometimes, you know. I want to receive, like, take, and then Christ just keeps giving, and then we give as well, serve. So yeah. I think that's a good place to end, unless you got one more thing you want to add to it.
No, I'm good. I think I could add 20 more things. We could keep talking about this, but.
Oh, yeah, we could.
You know, because sure. There's that aspect where, you know, yeah, you don't want the left hand to know what the right hand is doing, but we still have to raise enough funds to accomplish this task, right? And so then yeah. there's this whole other side of things where we're like, well, we need to let people know that this costs us something so that they'll give, so that we can keep doing this. And then there's that, well, it's only money. We're going to trust that God will provide. And when he does, we'll do. And when he doesn't, you know, I guess we won't.
Well, and letting people participate is allowing them in on that service in some way, at least.
There's joy in service, right? I mean, at the end of things, there's joy in service, right? And so when you meet other people's sorrow with a joy-filled service, it adds joy to everyone, right? And even as you carry the sorrows of someone else and take up the burden that someone else has, there's joy. It just mixes with the sorrow, right?
Right.
And if I had the option of sorrow, straight sorrow, or sorrow mixed with joy, I'd take sorrow mixed with joy every time, right? Like,
right.
So let's mix in some joy through service. That's what I would say.
Yeah. Well, it's been good. I love you, man. I hope you have a good week, and we'll try to get back next week, and we can get a little more, put some more podcasts out. Because, okay. I mean, the crowds are asking for it. I don't know what that means.
The crowds.
Jesus knew what was in the crowd. So, but I'm kidding. No, I'll see you next time.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.
All right. See ya. Bye.
Hey, thanks again for listening to Pontificating Pastors. If you like what you're hearing, don't forget to subscribe on iTunes or Anchor or any one of the other platforms. We hope you have a great week.